Good evening. It is good to see you all here that are here. I never did worry too much about numbers. I always figured that those that wanted to be here would be here. And I never had to worry about the words that I had to say falling on deaf ears, because you're here to hear a lesson and you're here to worship God, and I appreciate that. Tonight we're going to talk about something that I've been thinking about for the last 6 months, watching what's going on in the world, taking stock of how people are acting and reacting to different things, not necessarily politics, but everything. And so I decided I would put a lesson together on it that might help us cope better with what some people are doing and how people act and react to different things. I've titled this Sound Living in Society. I think sometimes, maybe not us sitting in here, but people get tied up with things in the everyday world and don't really know what to do or how to react or act with it. So here's some things that I wanted to say, and this list could go on and on and on. Anyone can have an opinion. Anyone can say what they want to say. Anyone can just worry about self. Anyone can hurt others' feelings. Anyone can hate. Anyone can be nonchalant. Anyone cannot care. Anyone can cause dissension. Anyone can deceive. Anyone can be contentious. Anyone, and I just kind of lumped the rest of it in, can do what they please. And that's the way the world is acting today. We've seen everything in the last 6 months. We've seen it in sports, we've seen it in politics, we've seen it in religion, and it just goes on and on and on about how people act and react out into the world. And not just people that are of the world, but people that call themselves Christians. And it gets to be mind-boggling. So I thought I'd put this together. Most of you know these sermons of mine go up on my website, and I've got people that listen to those that need to hear some of these types of things. So sometimes you get lessons that you may already know or may already heard or may already are implementing in your own lives, but someone needs to hear this. For the most part, we're going to be in Titus chapter 3. I want to start with a little background on Titus. Most of us are pretty aware with what's going on with Titus. He was a fellow worker with Paul. This letter was written probably somewhere around 63-64 AD to Titus from Timothy. Titus had left Timothy on the island of Crete, where there were several churches. He had told Titus, you need to put elders and deacons in these churches. You need to set an order in these churches. And it became a very tough job, as we can see in some of the writings that are in Titus. And I want to read, to start with here, in chapter 1, I want to start with verse 10, because this is what Titus is going to be dealing with. And it says, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision." That's talking about the Jews. So he started off right here telling Titus, here's what's happening. Now, you're going to work with insubordinate people. You're going to work with idle talkers. You're going to work with deceivers. And most of these, especially from the circumcision. He goes on to say, whose mouths must be stopped. So what's going on here is this has got to stop. And I think we can just plug in the world today. What's going on in the world today has got to stop. We've got liars, we've got deceivers, we've got all kinds of stuff going on. And he goes on and says, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. Well, amen. Verse 12, one of them, a prophet of their own, Paul says to Titus, this is one of their own people, this is a prophet. This is what he said. Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. That's pretty harsh language. That's coming from one of their own people. So Titus, here you are, buddy. You're on this island of Crete. You're going to go into these churches. This is what you're dealing with, and you're going to need to set in elders and deacons. Now, good luck. How are you going to find an elder and a deacon that's qualified? But evidently, Paul had a lot of confidence in this guy because he left him there. It goes on in verse 13, and it says, Paul says to Titus, now he says, this testimony is true. This is what this person said about the people in Crete. Therefore, you have to rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. So they're talking this way, they're liars, they're gluttonous, they're all these things that this prophet said. Paul's agreed with it because he said that testimony's true. And now he's telling Titus, you're going to have to deal with all this and you're going to have to rebuke them. And not only rebuke them, but it says rebuke them sharply. That means without hesitation. That means you've got to do it the right way. Why? So that they may be sound in the faith. So he's talking pretty much about the circumcision here, but he's also talking about the majority of people in Crete. These were rough, tough people. And if you don't get them to stop doing what they're doing, how are you ever going to get them to be sound in faith? So Paul says you got to start by rebuking them sharply. And then verse 14, he says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. So don't give in to that stuff, Titus. Don't give any heed to it. Because that's what these people are doing. They're false teaching. They're listening to stuff that isn't true. They're listening to Jewish fables. They're listening to commandments of men. And they're turning from the truth. And in verse 15, he says, to the pure, all things are pure. That makes sense. And then he says, but, I always like Paul, he uses that word, but. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Boy, amen. If you're looking at that, and you're looking at just a broad scope of what's going on, we're seeing the same thing. Those who are defiled and believe in nothing is, and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. It goes clear inside them. It's not just what they're saying. It's in their mind, and it's in their conscience. You know, you hear the saying, let your conscience be your guide. You know, sometimes that's not really the thing to be doing. Because if you got a bad conscience, you got a bad guide. If you got bad things in your mind and bad things in your conscience, you got a bad guide. I don't know that I want that conscience being my guide. So I'm not sure that's a real true statement, and we throw it out there. I'd throw it out there. I tell people, well, just let your conscience be your guide. Well, maybe that conscience is not a good guide. We don't know. And in verse 16, he kind of finishes this up a little bit, and he says, here's these people. I'm back up 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even inner mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Now, guys, that's bad, harsh language. And this is now, Titus is on the receiving end of this letter. And this is what he's going to have to be dealing with. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Another word for that, people, is hypocrite. I'm going to talk the good game, but when I walk out the door, I'm going to do what I want to do. I can lie, I can cheat, I can have my opinions, I can say whatever I want, I can do whatever I want, it doesn't matter. As long as the people around me see that I'm doing good, and that's what was going on here. They profess to know God, but in their works they deny him. And in denying him, they have become abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for what? Every good work. They have no credibility. I don't know if you know of a hypocrite, know someone that is a hypocrite. They don't have any credibility because they say one thing and do another. So you can't believe in them. Hypocritical. Okay, so now, that kind of sets the stage. That's what Titus is dealing with. He's in Crete. He's got to put elders and deacons in the churches. He's setting up order in the church. And Paul's telling him, you got all these people to deal with. And you've got to rebuke them sharply. You got to get their mind changed. You got to get them so that their faith is true and that their works are good. Now, let's just say this congregation isn't here, and or it is here. I'm Titus. I'm out here working in this Las Vegas Valley, and I'm reading this letter, and I'm seeing this letter being true. Don't I sometimes just want to throw my hands up in the air and say, Paul, man, I can't do this. We don't see Titus do that. Timothy had the same thing going on in Ephesus. He was having the same difficulty that Titus was having. Well, guess what? It hasn't changed from 60 AD to 2015, 16, 17 AD. It is the same. We still deal with the same people that Paul's talking about here. Okay? Now, we're going to go to chapter 3 because he tells Titus now how to work with all this. How do we get along in this society? How do we change this up? We'll start right. We're going to look at the whole chapter, okay? So we're going to start at verses 1 and 2. This is the instruction that Paul's given Titus. Verses 1 and 2 reads, Titus, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Now, you know what we just read over in chapter 1? This is a 180-degree turn from what we just read about how all these people are. But this is what Titus is to do, to remind them, be subject to rulers and authorities. Now, he's talking to Titus here about the church, okay? There's rulers, there's authorities in the church. But I submit to you that we can take this into the world, that we as Christians need to be subject to rulers and authorities, up and until the point that it interferes with our Christianity. And this is not the only place it says that. It also says, I believe it's in 1 Peter, where it gives instruction for Christians to follow leadership. Okay? So, remind them to be subject to these rulers and authorities and to obey. That doesn't mean to squabble with everything we see and read and hear. It means to obey. To be ready for every good work. Now, how's that going to happen? When I'm reading over here, the works deny them. They're abominable. They're disobedient. They're disqualified for every good work. And now he's telling Titus, you got to tell these people and remind them, they got to be ready for every good work. So in other words, they got to quit doing what they're doing. They've got to quit the mouth that they've got. They've got to quit the lying. They've got to quit all the stuff that's going on here and get back to what they're supposed to do. Now, when this church was set up, the people that obeyed believed Paul. And we know in Philippians, Paul tells the Philippians, you heard me and you believe me, now do it. You're getting away from it. And that's what's happened here with Titus in Crete. So he's just saying, Paul's saying, now remind them, and this is to the Christians, remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. And then he goes on in verse 2 and he says, now you also remind them to speak evil of no one. Well, Paul, I don't know if I can do that because there's just people I don't like. You're telling me I can't say anything bad about anybody. Yep, that's what I'm telling you. And Paul doesn't mix any words here. He says, and he doesn't say don't speak evil of almost everyone. He says to speak evil of no one. Now I don't know. I'm on Facebook. I'm on there, not a lot, but quite a bit during the day. I do some work on there. I share some stuff off my website on there. And I see post after post after post after post of friends of mine all over this country that have hate in their heart. And it says to me right here, don't speak evil of anyone. Now, how can this be? to be peaceable, to be gentle, show humility to all men. And again, Paul's not saying this just to some people. It's everybody. Saved Christians are model citizens by verses 1 and 2. Verses 3 through 8. For we ourselves were also once foolish. That's right, Titus, me and you. Disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Okay, now, Paul's saying a whole lot of stuff in here. So let's go back to verse 3. He says, okay, now he's come out of this. We're not supposed to speak evil of anybody. We've got to be peaceable and gentle, and we show humility to everybody. And then he says, for we ourselves, the we here is Paul and Titus, okay? We ourselves were also once foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived. And Paul was greatly deceived, wasn't he? To the point he persecuted Christians. Serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Okay, so here we're looking at sound Christians being motivated. Okay, verse 3 talks about Paul and his past. And he's aware that people are this way. He knows what's going on. Because I once was that way myself. But my past motivates me to do right today. Okay? Those of us that came out of the world into Christianity, I was fortunate. I was born and raised in a Christian family, a Christian home. I don't really know what it was to really be out in the world and have to be converted to Christianity because it was right there. But those that have been in that position know what Paul's saying here. We were foolish, and we were disobedient, and we were deceived. We were hearing stuff that didn't make any sense, but we were doing it. We were serving various lusts and pleasures, whether it be sexual or drinking or drugs or whatever it is. We were serving those. We were living in malice and envy, and we were hateful, even to the point we hated one another. People, that's where we are today in a lot of the world. Unfortunately, I'm seeing it with Christians that are members of the church. If we're not careful, we're going to have a church really divided. And I'm talking about Christ Church, not necessarily South Valley. Christ Church, the church and the kingdom. We got families arguing with each other over stuff. We've got employees and bosses arguing with each other over stuff. I don't want to define that. You just plug it in what yourself. Division, dissension, deceit, lying. It's all going on. So Paul's saying here, we're motivated by this past. I lived that way at one time. I don't want to go back there. So that motivates me to do the right thing. Now, in verse 4, by when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, that's talking about Jesus. That's talking about our source of salvation. In verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That, very simply put, is the basis of our salvation. Baptism. A regeneration from old to new. Verse 6, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Jesus is the means of our salvation. So he's lined up here three verses here. The source of, first of all, I'm motivated by my past. Second, I'm motivated by the source of my salvation, which is Jesus. Then I'm motivated by the basis of my salvation, and now I'm motivated by the means of my salvation, which is baptism, my regeneration from an old person to a new person. And in verse 7, it goes on to say that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The heirs and the hope of eternal life are the results of the salvation. They're the results of Jesus dying on the cross, shedding his blood, and the regeneration of us going from an old person to a new person. Okay, everybody with me? So we look at this motivation by sound Christians. We know what happened in the past. We don't want to be there anymore. Now we can see in verses 4 through 7, we have a source of salvation, we have the basis of salvation, we have the means of salvation, and we have the results of salvation. Paul's saying to Titus now, this is how you get these people to turn. You remind them what their past was. You remind them what Jesus did for you. And remind them where you're headed with a home in heaven. But you can't do it if you're doing what you did over here in chapter 1. Now, verse 8, this is a faithful saying. Paul's saying this. And these things I want you to affirm constantly. Okay? So all these things, Paul's saying to Timothy or Titus, you affirm these all the time. Don't forget them. Don't let them out of your mind. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. So you affirm in your mind constantly that. Those who believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Doesn't leave any room in there for bad works, does it? So how do you maintain good works? You go back up here and you remind yourself the way it was in the past and how not things were not real good in the past and how good they are today. And I can do these good works. I can get these bad works out of my mind because it's not working that way. God doesn't want it that way. And then he says, these things are good and profitable to men. So all these things that I'm talking about here, Titus, not only do you want to instill them, not only do you want to put them into effect, but they're good and profitable to men. Well, I don't know about that, Paul. Well, what I'm doing out here in the world, I can do anything I want to do, and I can lie and cheat and cuss and swear and do everything. I'm having a pretty good time out here. And now you tell me that I got to remember my past, and I got to be motivated by this salvation. And if I do all that, then things are going to be good and profitable to me. Is that what you're saying, Paul? You go, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And Titus, you let them know that. Bring them back around to where they were when I was there, when I taught them, and what they believed in, because they believed in Jesus. They believed in the right thing. They were converted to Christianity. They've got way off base. They're way out here in yonder land. And you've got to bring them all back, and this is how you do it. So in society today, if we're out in la-la land somewhere, this is how we bring people back into the fold. This is how we convert others into Christianity. You remind them of what's going on and you show them what can be going on. That's how it works. Verses 9 through 11. Sound Christians reject unsound teaching. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you're sound and grounded in Christianity, it's easier to not listen to or believe unsound teaching because you just know that's not right. And you can rebuke someone. And that's what Titus is going to have to do. He's got to rebuke these people and do it soundly. So in verse 9, Paul says here, sound Christians rejecting unsound teaching. He says, okay, now you've got to avoid foolish disputes. Don't get involved in them. It doesn't matter. He said, she said, has nothing to do with your salvation. In the grand scheme of things, what's going on out there in the world has nothing to do with our salvation. Now, if you get tied up in that stuff, and again, I'm using the word stuff because I don't know what word to plug in there. You get tied up in that stuff, it'll pull you down. It will drown you. It'll be like quicksand. So you have to be careful of that. If you've got friends involved in it, we need to tell them about it. And these are scriptures that you can use and you can say, listen, this isn't me saying this. This is God. Don't kill the messenger. I'm only showing you what God says, what God expects. Avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, that they are unprofitable and they are useless. So Paul's talking here about the old law. He's talking here to the Jews that are causing problems, the uncircumcised, or the circumcised he used earlier. That's who he's talking to. But again, we can take this and apply it in our lives. We can apply it in other people's lives to live in society today, to live in this world that we have today. Avoid those foolish disputes. Avoid contentions. Avoid the things that are unprofitable and useless. Sound Christianity rejects that unsound teaching. Verses 10 and 11. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. Okay, so what's that say? It said you got to get rid of this divisive guy, but you're going to admonish him one or two times first. You're going to try to set the record straight. If you can't get the record set straight, if you can't get the things situated around to what God says, not what I say, not what you say, then it says after a first and second admonition, reject the divisive man. Paul says somewhere else, and it's off my mind where it is, but he said if you're trying to deal with someone, you can't deal with them, you shake the dust off your shoes and move on. So if you're around divisive people, if you see divisive people, you tell them you can't be that way, and you've admonished them once or twice, and they're not going to get away from it, you have to get rid of them. You have to get away from that situation. Again, it will pull you in. It will suck you in. Verse 11, knowing that such a person is warped, okay, and sinning, and is being self-condemned. That's why you get away from them. Now, again, those are pretty harsh words that Paul's using, but they're words of his, and they're words that God put through Paul. All scripture is God-inspired, remember? Reject the divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped, is sinning, and is being self-condemned. They're doing it to themselves. And if they're being divisive and they're trying to pull you in, they're going to do it to you too. Sound Christians reject that unsound teaching. And then in verses 12 through 15, he gives a little more instruction to Titus. He said, okay, Titus, when I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. All right, so he's giving some direction to Titus. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And in verse 14, he says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Our people is the contingent that Paul worked with, the people that Paul worked with, the people that Titus was working with, people like Tychicus and Artemis and these guys. And he says, okay, and let our peoples also, and let them learn to maintain those good works. Don't slide off base. People of South Valley Church of Christ, don't slide off base. Maintain those good works. Meet urgent needs. Don't put it off, that they may not be unfruitful. And then in verse 15, a salutation. And all who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. The lesson is yours tonight. I talked about some things tonight that are bothering me. There's things that I see that are going on that are hard for me to deal with because I have a lot of friends. And they're involved, whether it's, you know, in Lincoln or Texas or wherever we are. And it bothers me. We need to pray for this nation. We need to pray for this congregation that we don't get sucked in to being divisive, to being dissentious, and all the things that we've talked about tonight. Stay on the right thing. continually do the good works. And we're doing that. But let's not get off base. If anybody be here tonight that needs the prayers of this congregation, whether it be for strength, health, friends that are in your way that you need to step aside from, if you need help in any way, now would be the time to make that known as we stand and sing the invitation song.